All right, greetings, brethren. It's good to be with you. Lou Ann and I have many, many, many precious memories of this Hope Convention. Goes back, I can remember when it was held in person at, in Hope. I don't think it's a day where we haven't, or a convention we haven't been there over all these years. What we'd like to do is let you, our theme text. Currently, right now, to let the brother know, I have five different varieties of lilies growing out in our front yard. We consider these lilies when we go out in the front yard and work in the front yard or in the evening, just sit down and just meditate on how they grow. And our theme text is taken from Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, or wherein shall you be clothed? For all these things do the Gentile seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, that all things may be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Brethren, when we think of this, look, I think Jesus is saying to us, don't worry about things, brethren. God will take care of you. All your job is to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Take no thought. Our Father knows what the things we have need of before we even ask Him. How many times in our experience, brethren, has the Father provided for us without even we asking? He just knows what we need when we need it. Be careful. Don't worry, therefore, respecting what you shall eat or what you shall drink or about your temporal affairs. Why? Because God is overruling and taking care of even the little things. Lou Ann and I, at the end of the day, we are amazed when we sit down and talk about, well, how'd your day go? And we start sharing of all the little things. Look at the little things that God provides for us, watches over for us, provides when we need it. Seek primarily the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Isn't that our job, our duty, our desire is to seek this heavenly kingdom? Everything else is secondary. And keep it that in mind, that when we seek the kingdom of God, everything, when we need it, will be added unto us. All things needful, earthly things, shall be added unto you. And this is, I know this phrase is not scriptural, but I found this to be true. All things God will provide when we need it. By your Father in heaven, according to His wisdom. Remember, we've committed our way unto God, His will. And He provides everything we need according to His wisdom when we need it. From anxious cares as the lilies. When I look at my lilies out in the front yard, they just grow. They go through the storms, the rains, the sunshine, the heat, the drought. They just grow. The lesson being is anxious cares. Yes, we have cares. We have things we have to do. We have to maintain our daily living activities. We have to provide everything decent and needful, but the anxious cares. Trust is one of the lessons I've learned. Trust our Father knows best for us. Trust Him. Be obedient in seeking this kingdom of heaven. Just trust God that He will provide when we need it. Didn't we just say this? But do we really mean it, brethren? Do we really live this? Trusting myself to divine care and providential overruling of all my interest, what? For my highest welfare. That's the important thing. God overrules for the development and growth of the new creation. What our Father knows best. To repel all anxiety. It's hard sometimes not to get anxious when you look out on the world today, inflation running higher than before, trying to make ends meet. You know, you can only make a dollar stretch so far. But the thing is, the anxiety of it, God will provide. All discontent, all discouragement. It's hard sometimes, isn't it, brethren? To where you do your best endeavors, try to make ends meet, but you still come up short. But remember, it's God who's in control of all our actions and overrules for our highest welfare. And this is a key point, I think. I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit. Why? Faith can firmly trust him, come what may. And I think we're entering into come what may. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we know from the past that our Father will always provide for us. It's a rest of faith, isn't it, brethren? God provides. Isaiah 28:12, to whom it is said, this is the rest therein you may cause the weary to rest. And this is refreshing. Rest in the Lord. Rest and have that confidence. Isn't that part of our lessons that we're learning, that God is teaching us? To rest and trust our Father. And it isn't this refreshing that our cares and our needs are taken care of. We don't have to worry about it. We have concern, yes, but worry, no. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I know many of us are overwhelmed by life's experiences. It's not easy to live in this world. We're bombarded every day in every angle we look at it. From financial, social, political, everywhere we look, we're bombarded. But I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Remember, we're not in this experiences alone. It's Jesus is saying, I will come with you. I will be your burden bearer. I will walk with you. I will take care of you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And there you find rest for your souls. By keeping Jesus, I found that by keeping Jesus involved in our lives, that it is a comfort and it's a rest, because we know this journey is hard, but God will provide for us. Jesus is there with us. He's our fellow yoke bearer. He's our paracletos, one who walks alongside of us. And it gives us great comfort and peace, doesn't it, brethren? That it gives us rest. That we have someone who understands what we go through. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, this is Paul speaking, and Paul definitely can speak from experience of difficulties of life. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Jesus may rest upon me. Paul was thankful for the experiences he was getting. When he looked at his lily patch, he saw it was difficult. He saw that it was hard to get through life sometimes. The experiences that Paul had, But look at Paul's perspective on things. By his strength is made perfect in weakness. Why? Because our Father and our Lord Jesus make up the difference for us in rejoicing that we see his overruling and guiding hand in all of our life's affairs. That the power of Christ may rest upon him. We have divine aid. Look at the tool chest that our Father has for us. We have our Father himself. We have our Lord Jesus. We have the testimony of the ancient worthies. We have the apostles. And we have Jesus. We have our brethren that went before us to rely on. We have our brethren now that are with us, not only in this room, but in our fellowship, that will help us get through. God provides all these tools for us so that we can make our calling election sure, that we can walk up this highway of holiness, that we can rest assured that he will overrule for our highest welfare. Isn't it amazing, brethren, that I've often found that God, this would be some kind of strange, provides a buddy who understands us, that we can relate to, that we can confide in. And this is all provided for us, that we do not walk alone. God provides all these tools for us. Psalms 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou dwell in the land, and verily thou will be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Here's, I think, an important part. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Notice how many times trust is mentioned in this verse. Trust. I think that's what our Father is teaching us, isn't it? I will provide. You just trust me. Father knows best. I'll take care of you. He will provide everything that we need that is needful for our highest welfare for the new creature when we need it. What I'd like to do is when I consider the lilies out in the front yard, I have some of the lilies grow tall, grow short, big flowers, little flowers, but they all bloom. But yet they're all the same varieties. Some of us, brethren, are very robust health. Some of us, it seems like when the weather changes, they get sick. Some of us are very well off financially. Some of us have a hard time struggling through life. Hardly, if we break even, we're good or happy. Some of us may be 10 talented persons. Some of us may be one talented person. And when we consider this, we shouldn't compare ourselves to each other. In John 21:20, Peter then, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayed thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Just follow me. In 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So when you combine these two scriptures together, isn't it saying we're all individuals before the Lord? We should not compare ourselves, or when I go out in my front yard, compare one lily to another. We should not compare ourselves for each other. The pastor says, this is very wise counsel. The standard set before us, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48. By this standard we are to measure ourselves continually, and not by one another. And to this standard we are to seek and to bring all conduct of our lives, as well as our meditations of our hearts, into conformity with that, being perfect. We compare ourselves with Jesus. That's our standard. In reprint article 4184, this is a difficult lesson for all of the Lord's followers to learn. It's easy, isn't it, brother, to compare each other, to compare one with another. But it is a very important one. If we allow ourselves to look about us and see to wonder why some of our fellow disciples is not receiving apparently the same amount of chastisements or trials or difficulties or burdens that the Lord permits to come to us, and if we permit ourselves to become judges of the Lord and His wisdom and His providences, the result will be disastrous to ourselves. It will destroy our peace and undermine our faith and hinder us from learning the lessons necessary to prepare us for the kingdom. If such criticisms of divine providence at any time come to our minds, we should answer ourselves promptly. The language of our Lord to Peter, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." We are not competent to regulate these matters, nor is it proper nor necessary for the Master to explain to you all of his plans and purposes. It is far better for you that you learn faith, submission, and trust. No two of us have the same natural disposition. We're all different, just like my lilies out in the front yard. They're all different. But yet they all bloom. And no two of us, it shows you the wisdom of God that He customizes all our experiences for each individual, for each one of us, according to what we need. No two of us, therefore, need the same disciplinary training at the hand of the Lord. We have confidence in His wisdom and love. Let us manifest it, realizing that if our trials are greater, our blessings will be proportionate. And as the Lord said to Paul, so He would say to each of us. Our Lord's training each one of us individually to be fitted to that very specific spot in the body of Christ. No two of us have the same exact experiences, but it shows you that God's care, and we should be submissive to what we learn, and we should compare, the one thing we should compare ourselves to is the perfect standard of Christ. That's a proper comparison. Isn't that what Paul just said? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. With the apostle, let us say, if therefore the Lord's grace is proportionate to our trials, let each of us receive with rejoicing all the trials He may send, that we may have more of His grace. Let us rejoice in all the trials He may send, that we may have more of His grace. It is for each sheep to know the shepherd and to follow him, taking as straight paths for our feet as possible, and leaving with the shepherd the general oversight of the flock at its interest, giving it attention in proportion as the Lord through the brethren gives opportunity to assist in that shepherding work, and in the same the Lord to counsel or assist his dear flock. Our job is to make straight path for our feet, leaving all to the great shepherd, paying attention to what he's leading and guiding in each one of us. But yet, we have the opportunity to help in the shepherding work, to help our brethren along this narrow way. Brethren, as we go through our experiences, this as scripture has become more and more important to our lives. Be content with such things as you have. Hebrews 13:5. Some of us may have a lot. Some of us may have very little. But whatever it is, the key point is being content with what you have. You look at the world, how restless they are after things, and they're not satisfied of where they're at. But brethren, contentment, being content with the things that you have, with such as the divine providence may grant to us. Spiritual Israel should use wisely such things as are within their reach, accepting all as God's gifts with thanksgiving. We are promised earthly things that are needful. Remember, needful. I can remember my dad always tell, when we went up to him and said, "Dad, I want this." He says, "Well, do you want it or do you need it?" And he said, "Well, you don't really need that." But our Father always provides what we need. Whatever we have more than necessity, it then much more than the Lord has promised to us in this present time. Realizing that the riches of faith, trust, contentment, and godliness with the fruits of the Spirit constitute true riches. Trust, faith, contentment, godliness, with the fruits of the Spirit. These are the true riches which we strive to seek, isn't it, brethren? Give thanks to the Lord that his wisdom and grace he has so favorably saluted you. Wow, what a privilege we have of this riches of faith. We are rich beyond any human being. Who cares if one's a trillionaire? It doesn't matter. We still have the Spirit and wisdom and blessing and care over our Heavenly Father. And therein we should be content. The example and counsel of the saints should be that of contentment and cheerful submission to the present trials and sure hope of the good time coming. Isn't that what keeps us going, brethren? Is that we know the kingdom is right at the door. In being content that our Heavenly Father and His Son are in control. With that, it doesn't matter what the world goes through or what the world politics or anything happens. It's our Father and His Son are in control, and therein being content. Things that you have, we have found that the pearl of great price, and are not only content with the terms upon which is offered to us, but most gladly, willingly, joyfully, we count all but loss and dross. We volunteered to make a consecration. We found this pearl of great price. We want it. And how many of us knew the experiences or trials or difficulties we would be getting into if we knew this at the beginning? All we knew at the beginning is, I want to serve my Heavenly Father, come what may. And the contentment of saying, this is the way the Lord wants us. He spells it out in Scripture. If you follow me, follow our Lord, you're going to get experience. If you strive to after righteousness, you're going to get experience. We knew this at the beginning, or we knew this as we grew. but yet more willingly and gladly and joyfully, we look at these are just stepping stones to our heavenly home. This does not mean that it would be improper to avail ourselves of providential, if a providential door opens by the Lord for the betterment of our condition. That doesn't mean we sit back. Let me learn by experience. You don't sit back, in my mind, sit back and just think, well, the Lord will provide everything and do nothing. You have to give the Lord a handle to work with. And he will overrule it, he will direct it, and he will open doors. But someone has to take that first step. Just like when Israel was crossing the Red Sea, somebody had to walk and put that foot in the ground, water, then the waters departed and they opened up a way of escape. Just like with us, we strive to do the best of our ability and look with the Lord and see how the Lord overrules and guides us along through our experiences. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, thereof be content. If the Lord provides a lot of a bounty, be content. If he provides few, be content. Because this is what our Father sees that we have need of. And be contentment. 1 Timothy 6:8. And having food and raiment, let us therein be content. Give all of our surplus of your time and energy over and above that which is spent in providing things needful in it, in the accumulation of heavenly riches. We have, as you, we all know, we have to spend time of providing for our temporal needs. But what I've learned is that when we minimize these and seek the heavenly things, like Jesus said in our theme text, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all needful things will be added unto you. Now this may sound a little bit strange, but be content, brethren, but never satisfied. Are you satisfied with where you are in your consecration? Do you see where you can make improvement? And be not conformed to this world, but be transferred, what? By the renewing of your mind. I don't know about you, but the battle that we have within the mind, say, the adversary is very good at throwing all sorts of thoughts at you, but it's the transforming from the thoughts of this world to the thoughts and seeking ye the first, the kingdom of heaven. And being renewed in the spirit of your mind, it is change the way you think. Change the way you think. It's not easy. Change comes in inches, not miles. But you look back from a year ago, where you were and where you are now, I'm quite sure your thought processes have more turned bend heavenly. Just like a sunflower. They follow the sun. They bend down early in the morning. They bend low. But as the day goes on, they go upright. And they change the way they do things. Just like with us. Change the way you think. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Putting on this new man. That's the struggle. That's the challenge. This is what we said we would do. Change is always inevitable. But are we content? Are we always struggling to strive to put on the fruits and graces of the Spirit? Are we striving to be more peaceful, more humble, more trustworthy, transforming our ways of being more like our Lord. Psalms 19:13. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them have not dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent of the great transgression. Are we looking at the little things, the hidden things, and overcoming? That's the point. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. We see this at memorial time. 1 Corinthians 5:7. But that purging, that putting out that old leaven, is a continual process of striving to put down the old man into the new man. Colossians 3:2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. That's a struggle. That's a challenge. Because there are many good and righteous things in this world. But setting our affections on things above. Seeking ye first the kingdom of heaven. Even if the result should be the bare necessities of life, if such be the best obtainable from a reasonable and judicious use of opportunities and talents. Even if that's all we can do, is just the bare necessities of life. If we've given our all, if we've given due diligence in trying to provide everything needful and decent, but if it's the bare necessities, brethren, I think the lesson is being content, because this is what our Father says we have need of. Not while we are in the flesh to be content, to be satisfied, but be content with the circumstances that our Father has permitted. Our Father, sometimes things just happen to us, at least in our lives, that we don't know why, but we recognize that this is from the Lord. And if the Lord provides this unusual, different circumstance, okay, this is from the Lord. Tell you a story. For a while, in our Luanne and my early marriage, we would go to the Hope Convention. And that Monday morning, I would go to the office, and the type of job I had, their fiscal year ended in June. Well, I got laid off. And it just so happened, the class was busy with a lot of witness activities. Nobody else had the time to do it, but the Lord saw fit. I got laid off, and we got unemployment to last all the way up until the project was done in the class. And when we look back on it, saying, wow, this is from the Lord, because this is what he wanted done, and we were content with that. The other experience we had was at work, same, a different job. I was accused of violating the HIPAA rules. You know, can't medical disclosure and everything else. This circumstances were so unusual that we saw the Lord wanted me out of work. Earlier in the year, I was going to retire in December. And so I applied for my Social Security in 6 months ahead of time. I started in March, because my birthday was in September. I applied, and then I got laid off from my job, or let go, and they provided unemployment. Well, my unemployment lasted and ran out the same day my Social Security check arrived. So we had the Lord, this just didn't happen. You could see when you look at it right away how the Lord overruled and provided everything we needed. We are never without. And we were content, saying, well, if this is the way the Lord wants me out of this job, okay. And it was a good thing, because my blood pressure was 200 over 100. And he saw fit that I get out of that job. And we've been provided for ever since. And you just see, this is how the Lord works. If he's done it for me, he will do it for you. A covetous is a desire to have, keep, enjoy, especially applied to something that belongs to another and to which we do not possess it. Includes holding back that which belongs to the Lord in a desire to have it and enjoy something that belongs to another. Sometimes a desire for more ease, comfort, and wealth and social influence as a protest against the share of the aches and pains and groanings of creation, or against the illness and death of a loved one. Brethren, this is a hard challenge. This idea of covetousness, wanting something, but our Lord has provided for us and everything, if he sees fit, that we need to share in the aches and pains and groanings. Remember, this is part of our sin offering experiences. This is so we can develop and be a sympathetic high priest. Dissatisfaction with the divine providence and has a shaped for them. Brethren, be thankful that the Lord is giving you these experiences because he loves us. He cares for us so much that he wants to see us move on to become more Christ-like. There's an example of this is in Exodus 2:20. And he said unto his daughters, where is he? And why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. Remember, Moses was not as happy camper being out there in the wilderness. He was discontent. But yet, through time, he learned to be content with what the Lord's providence has permitted. A humble shepherd for 40 years, learning a most important lesson of meekness, of full submission to the divine will. A very severe lesson is for one not yet understanding God's providences and affairs. Isn't that part of our learning process? Lesson of meekness and so full submission to the divine will in being content with what the Lord's providence may permit. The example and counsel of the saints should be that of contentment and cheerful submission to the present trials in a sure hope of a good time coming. A cheerful submission to the present trials of contentment that our Father loves us and is caring for us and is seeking in the experiences we get, leading us to something higher and more important. Contentment and the faith which it implies are necessary to godliness. Contentment with godliness is what? Is great gain. Combine the two, brethren, contentment and godliness is very favorable in God's sight. Remember part of the song that says, contentment, whatever lot I see, since what? 'Tis God that leads me. Contentment, faith, trust yields a godly character, and it is great gain. Look at the Apostle Paul. Paul prayed three times. He was not content, from what I can read into this. He was asking God, God, change it. Change my eyesight. I want my eyesight restored. Three times. But look at the lesson that we got from Paul. 2 Corinthians 12:9 again. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul's reaction, most gladly therefore I would rather glory in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul wouldn't say this unless he went through and was content with the experience that God gave him. What a blessing, what a comfort, and what a strength this is for us. We benefit from Paul's experience. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. It's by through our weakness and our humility, realizing we cannot do this on our own. We need our Lord Jesus. We need his strength. We need his wisdom in guiding us. Sometimes our Lord is pleased to grant physical relief, and other times he may do as he did to Paul. Give us more the grace to bear the physical ill. If the Lord's grace is in proportion to our trials, let us receive with rejoicing all the trials he may send, that we may have more of his grace. The more tougher the experiences, I'm sure we've all learned this, the greater the blessing, the greater the grace that our Father gives us. We have a promise. Our source of strength when battling with a current of life is never to be forgotten. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. We are not alone. We have our Father, our Lord Jesus. We have our brethren that we're close to. We are always have someone there with us. Jesus said, be of good cheer, brethren. I have overcome. John 16:33. Overcoming. I will never leave thee, forsake thee. The true ground of contentment, the realization of our Lord's care, that his wisdom and grace are being executed towards us, and that such are the things he has granted are the things which are best for us. He is always present to what? Comfort, bless, and make all things work together for good, those that love God, that are called according to his purpose, to comfort, to bless, and make all things work for good. 1 Timothy 6:6. For godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out of it. Having food and raiment, let us therein be content. Our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of. We should accept what he gives us as being for our best interest. To be without worry, this is a challenge. To be without worry does not mean to be without proper concern and due diligence to find work and to do it, to provide everything decent and needful. It's a proper concern, and we do our due diligence. But the difference is not to worry. It is for us to rejoice that our infirmities are being more wisely and more favorably ordered than if we are under our own control. We would always look for the easy way out, the easy way. But the affairs are more wisely and more favorably ordered by God and his Son than if we were doing it ourselves. Every event and affair of life will be overruled for our highest good. Our Father knows what we have need of. Our prayer should be more in the nature of thanksgiving, thank offerings, worship, adoration, recounting the blessings and favors we already enjoy. Thanking our Father should be a primary objective in our prayers. We should give him, thanking him for what he provides for us. In our cases, sickness should not overcome without the Lord's special permission. Hence, it should be regarded as from him. Remember, everything we have, the experiences come from our Father for our highest welfare. Therefore, Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. You know, you can get overwhelmed worrying about the what ifs, the how comes, the whatevers. But take care of today. That's all we have is today or what's in front of us. We plan ahead. You know, one phrase that was told me, man plans, God directs. We make our plans, but God directs them. But worry, take care of today. Take care of right now. Our Lord assures us that if our primary focus is serving Him and promoting righteousness and striving to obtain the kingdom promised to those who love God, then we need not to be anxious about the future. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble or all we can do to handle today. Thankfully, God has promised that His grace will be sufficient for us every single day. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, brethren, primarily, as those of the first or primary importance. First interests are earnest and singleness of heart are necessary. God will look out for the earthly interest of those who pursue this course. Seek ye the kingdom of heaven. It means to seek a place with the Redeemer in true glory and power in His coming kingdom. Remember Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways and seek and ask for the old paths. There is a good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find what? Rest for your souls. When we seek the kingdom of heaven and put our mindset in the kingdom, doesn't that give us a peace and calm to get through the day? Not merely seek it in prayer. We are to seek them by setting our affections on those things, by lifting our affections up from earthly things. All who will be counted worthy to be kings and priests must demonstrate now their willingness to sacrifice their own personal interests and rights in favor of the kingdom. How bad do we want this kingdom, brethren? Are we willing to give it all up, everything? We may lose the temporal advantage, but by faith we realize that is to the spirit, our spiritual advantage. That is righteousness, standard of perfection towards God and towards men. We shall not only seek the kingdom, but seek its righteousness, the righteousness which the kingdom will bring, and the righteousness which God will approve. All these things, food, raiment, whatever temporal things we will have, if we keep our mindset on the kingdom, will be added to you. All necessary things, when we necessarily need them, are promised. According to God's wisdom. I think that's an important point. According to God's wisdom. If we seek and find His righteousness, we shall also find the kingdom. Pleasures forevermore. In the presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore, declared the prophet. Psalm 16:11. It is because prayer brings the soul into the presence of the Lord that it prepares the way for divine blessings. We must also let the Lord's words abide in us. We must partake of the word of truth and grace if we should have the wisdom necessary to ask in harmony with the Lord's will. Manna for coming up is August 21. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. The Lord and His people of spiritual Israel will do well to bear this thought continually in mind, that spiritual interests are to be given the preference always, that temporal affairs are to be managed and controlled from the standpoint of everlasting welfare, from the standpoint of spiritual growth and development and prosperity, from the standpoint of the best interest and influence upon their children. Take no thought for tomorrow, brethren, no anxious or burdensome care for tomorrow. Be neither careless nor anxious. Sufficient also is the guidance of the Lord, and we are to wait and to watch for it. It is our hope to be not realized as soon or if our hopes to be realized so soon, or not realized so soon as we should expect, we are not to worry. We are blessed with the truth, and therein is work to be done. Manna passed, January 25. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall be take care of itself. Our Lord assures us that if the main thought of our hearts and his service and his promotion of righteousness and attainment of the kingdom which God has promised to them that love him, then we need carry no anxious cares respecting the future. As a disciple, we are to have trials and tribulations enough day by day, and we'll need daily to lean upon the bridegroom's arm and seek to walk the narrow way. Sufficient for each day will be the evil of itself. And thanks be to God also, we have the promise that daily his grace shall be sufficient for us. Brethren, let us strive to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and consider the lilies, how they toil not, but yet God takes care of them. Let us trust. Be calm and not anxious, being content with the Lord's overruling and providential care. May the Lord add his blessing.